Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand quietly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live, Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I'll be your host by name, your Seer Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take number 40. It's going to be a long series because we have to bring everything that we have been taught and challenge it to see where it stands, and if it's good, we'll go with it, but if it's not, that's up to you. Our job is to let you know what the Bible's saying, not traditions of men. Got it? Good. All right, I'll be a few minutes late, come on the broadcast, and let's check and see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode. And like we tell you, Sister Judah Israel, take notes. One day we hear you in that microphone doing what you got to do, because if it's calling on you, Yahweh will know it through the tone of the reading of his word. Sister Judah Israel.
What's about to happen on Mount Sinai is absolutely insane. Religious leaders are gathering November 6th through the 18th for a ceremony they're calling Returning to Sinai, where they say that they're going to issue a new 10 commandments to repent for man-made climate change. The website Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development has an article discussing the upcoming event titled In Sinai, a Prophetic Call for Climate Justice and Ceremony of Repentance. Mount Sinai is, of course, where Moses received the 10 commandments, but these religious leaders are actually calling for a new universal 10 commandments. In that article, it states the project partners will bring together premier religious leaders from the world's major religions to gather upon Mount Sinai to engage in a first-ever climate repentance ceremony and to pull forth a prophetic interreligious call to action, climate justice, 10 universal commandments.
I've got what's leading up to that event, and it's this COP27, which is the UN meeting that they have. This will be the 27th, where world leaders gather together and they discuss what to do about climate change. This year, they have a heavy hand in inviting religious leaders around the world. Pope Francis even encouraging people in this whole ceremony thing. And that's where these religious leaders decided to get together and have an interfaith day at Mount Sinai, where they call for a new universal Ten Commandments. I mean, this is crazy. And I'll read their kind of declaration from Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development in just a moment. But first, just to point out, Pope Francis, a few things that he's directing towards this. COP27, Pope Francis invites Christians to a month of ecological conversion, whatever ecological conversion means. Pretty strange wording. And here's another article. Pope Francis calls on Christians to repent and modify our lifestyles to save the planet. So driving your car and eating meat is a sin. I mean, that's kind of what that kind of wording leads to one to believe. Now, I'll read an excerpt off this website. So again, this is the Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development. And the title of this article is In Sinai, a Prophetic Call for Climate Justice and a Ceremony of Repentance. And this is what will be taking place on November 13th. Now, let me read you a little bit of what it says is going to be going on. We come to Sinai in a movement of repentance and quest. We seek new vision for humanity and its endangered existence. and we seek to receive and amplify a message of life-sustaining living and habits that humanity needs to hear today. In this spirit, the project partners will bring together premier religious leaders from the world's major religions to gather upon Mount Sinai to engage in a first-ever climate repentance ceremony.
And so, I'm the lab science director. I know a thing or two about food science. Now, what they have invented, when I say they, I'm talking about the genetic engineers, not only have they found a way to put these genetically engineered traits into food crops, they've now found a way to cause food crops to grow RNA fragments that can be specifically targeted like bioweapons to interfere with the physiological processes of targeted species that might eat the food. Now, this technology is called RNA interference technology. It's relatively new compared to GMOs, relatively new. It's being touted now as a technology to eliminate the use of pesticides because what they're saying is they can cause a corn crop to grow RNA fragments that will kill the insects that eat the corn without having to use pesticides like toxic chemicals that overload the insect nervous system and kill it from a nervous system breakdown and so on. This RNA interference technology is a pesticide technology, but it doesn't rely on pesticide chemicals. It relies on RNA fragments in the food. Now, what's disturbing about this is that this technology can be fine-tuned to target a specific race of humans who eat the food. I want you to follow me very carefully on this because most people have never heard of this before. They've never heard of this technology. They don't know it can be targeted by race. Food crops can be engineered right now based on existing technology to cause infertility in black people alone. That technology is a reality. It's actually, it's widely covered out there in mainstream media, in the science media, RNA interference technology is widely covered. The government is at war with you. If you're black and you're watching this, the government is at war with you, and they want you exterminated, and they control the science funding, which means there will never be money for any genetic science of the food supply to uncover this truth if it were there. It would be covered up like everything else has been covered up this entire time, just like the Tuskegee experiments covered things up in the 1930s. Nothing has changed, except the technology is more advanced. The covert technology is more covert. The number of vectors through which they can kill you and cause you to have no children, cause you to have spontaneous abortion, the number of vectors is increasing. You are being targeted. And like I said earlier, to some extent we're all being targeted. But black people are being targeted more than anyone else.
Name is of such importance. We all know these passages. I'm not trying to use anything too difficult in this study because I want people to understand. So in Joel chapter 2, and we go to verse 32, we read, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be escape, as Yahuwah has said, and amongst the survivors whom Yahuwah calls." All know this passage, except we've probably heard it with the Lord. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. However, that's not what the passage states. It states all who call upon Yahuwah shall be saved. And again, this is so important for us to understand because we are living in the last days, and this revelation of the Creator's name is going forth. What used to be held for just studies amongst rabbis and learned theologians and various teachers and doctors is now being proclaimed even to lay people. And this is critical because Yahuwah is expanding the awareness of his great and awesome memorial name. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Then shall those who fear Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, YHWH, Yahuwah, shall speak to one another, and Yahuwah will listen and hear, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yahuwah and those who think upon his name." Wouldn't you want to be in this book of remembrance? This is the book of life, after all. And if you believe in the Messiah, the one that I said is, his name is Yahushua, he taught us how to pray. And you probably remember this. In your King James Version, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the Hebrew, however, it is Avinu Shamash Shemayim Yikadesh Shimka, which means our Abba, our Father, who is in the Shemayim, the heavens, Kodesh, or set apart and sanctified, is your name. The Messiah said he did all of his works in his Father's name. He healed the blind in the Father's name. He did all these things. And we read in the book of Revelation that the 144,000 in the book of Revelation that are sealed, what are they sealed with? The Father's name in their forehead.
This is a book by a Jewish white man, okay? And the Jewish white man named Stephen S. Jacobs, he wrote a book. He wants to go do his history. He wants to go find out his lineage. Now, what his book is, The Hebrew Heritage of Black Africa.
All right. Yahweh, I'll be with you all. Another episode. This is called the special edition called Thursday Evening. And one thing we got to tell you plainly, take notes. Learn as much as you can, fast as you can. There was one thing about it, see, Roy, once you start revealing the truth that those that are uncomfortable with truth will come against you. Got it? Good. All right. We're going to bring our elder in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast, and then we'll open the lines up and see who's going to be on stage. But right now, we're fine looking for our elder right now. We're going to bring him in on a call, a special edition call Thursday evening. Yahweh be with you all over 700,000 strong in the national side. And like I said again, Sister Judah, Israel, take notes. Take notes. Sooner or later, we're going to hear you hollering that microphone on one of these episodes real soon. Elder Mr. Tills, Yahweh be with you, L.C. Ray.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and see the world. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh, the elder. Well, it's called a special edition call Thursday evening, elder. So, whatever Yahweh put on you to tell this national audience, take the time and put your A-game on, and then we'll open the room up and see who all going to be on stage for tonight's episode, Take 40. Take the time, elder. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And as I say, that's always a good thing. You know, I can see why that name comes up quite often, the Latter-day Saints. My goodness, it seems as though I was busy with those guys all this evening up until now, and they want to talk again tomorrow. I can't believe it. This time, instead of two, there would be three. Well, I have to put this on them. You know, we have to guide them through bad times of wrong teachings, confusion, and Christianity. We stick our hand out each and every broadcast to welcome and thank all for attending this live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. That's why it's always good to reach out and find out what book somebody's reading from before you start quoting a verse. I learned that quite well today, because we learn from this book, keeping the Sabbath days, how to connect the books, foods that you should eat, and all this is done and much more from this one book. And this is the information that you all have looked for and found it now in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under the big line, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. Any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see the choices. you choose the tithes and offerings, in doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, tend it to the people. Give to the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to those scriptures that I mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Saith Yahweh live. Also, for building a school, which is very well needed, I'm beginning to see it, on a continuing basis. Our banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. We even have a calendar. While there, check that calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. Features available during our broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions on the biblical subject counsel or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 accounts of Yahweh's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As a reminder, I'll have to tell you, you'll only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. By calling this number also, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive a phone. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or after. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos. And even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. And I really understand what that name means now. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. As I said, unless you call trying to teach, there will be a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, special edition, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelite, Tribal Yadav. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or actually, when you look down that list, pick any particular day that you would like to listen. During our normal broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Peltel. We will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh. You'll find a room will hold 50 or more participants, where Yahweh's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on the table topics we discussed during our program with Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing in a shotgun. And during that time, we'll be taking no comments on the topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find that Broad Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Peltel. I'll be with you all. On one note to mention, when we're giving scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh flow smoothly. Remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh, so we can start to listen to those righteous words. We'll pass our program over to our seer Israel and say, "Hallelujah, Yahweh."
All right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent again. That's excellent. And Yahweh be with you all. Special edition called Thursday evening. Remember, like the elder said, tomorrow class, although the class will start at all six locations when the sun sets, but we'll be back on the network at 7:30. 7:30 on Friday and Saturday at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Although the class will start from the sunset at all locations, but coming on the airways tomorrow, you can log in around 5 minutes before 7:30, and then you'll be having a great seat. All right, got it good. They're still gonna be on stage for the night, episode part number 40. And we definitely heard what the elder just said. He entertaining the Latter-day Saints. And that's a great thing. But the main location is the one on the network called out of Utah. That's the one that, like I said, stirs up the tea coming out of Utah. The one on the network as we speak. All right, it's still going to be on the broadcast now. And everything else is called what's called the little camps. How they have it in the Bible, the children of the big camp. Keep that in your mind now. Now, some might come out of that a little bit later. We don't know. But I see we're going to be on stage for the ninth episode, part number 40. Oh, we see how one of them young lions, one of them up-and-coming teachers, Brother Micaiah. All right. Let's see if Brother Micaiah ready to holler in that microphone. Brother Micaiah, Father Yahdah Judah, Yahqua Bijah C. Royal.
Yahqua bless you there, Sir Israel. Oh, C. Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, excellent. All right, that's pretty excellent, too, you, what you're doing there, Elder, on Pal Talk. I definitely couldn't find a switch that turns on the room on Pal Talk. Then we'll be on Pal Talk, Facebook, and this broadcast all at one time, and we need to be on especially every computer network. It is. A lot of information needs to be put out here on the computer networks. I mean, what do people, where they be at? Where they be in these rooms on the computers at? That's what we need to find. Can we get a broadcast on one of them? So those that got that information, check around on these rooms called the internet and see can we slide our six anointed camps into one of them slots, but we can be clear, because all we try to do it for is us Matthew 25:21. You get a well done my good and faithful servant. That's all we want out of the deal. And because see James 5:20 tell us this: if you're able to help anybody on the right track, James 5:20 say, it hides a multitude of your sins. And we ought to be clear, we need to have all the bargaining chips we need when we stand before your mighty one, when the mental spirits pull out your record and see what part did you do in doing his business. And that's the key, because that's where you'll get rewarded on. Where did you step up and take care of his business? Because you was created in this time to take care of his business, and everything else is secondary to his business. So make sure you got James 5:20, Matthew 25:21, You want to get out of the deal? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been all right in a few things. Now I'm going to make you great in the kingdom forever. That should be your reward. Got it? Good. All right. No said on that. Let's scroll down and see who else going to be on stage. All right. Holy Israel.
He recommended me to go
there. God, Judah. We hear Mother Z in the background. Okay. And listen to her. We don't get to do it. I can take some notes. Hey, Mother E.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. See Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother. Excellent. Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yahweh, Judah, and Mother Z, saying, listen, Sarah, when you can get something going, tell you if I can write down some verses so I can give my commentary on what I hear. Or whatever the Almighty have put on me, so we'll catch up a little bit later in the broadcast. But I heard what the elder said a minute ago about the Latter-day Saints. So we're going to throw a couple of verses on the table to always be mindful of the scripture, and we'll do that by seeing with a young lion look at Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Take your time, young lion, come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. See, the righteous spirit is what you want to make sure is over your head, the righteous spirit. Now, you don't want the spirit of the world. So, Mother, let's see can we hear a couple of quick hits for our elder to make sure he stays on point. Let's go to Psalm 55, Mother, and we'll look at Psalm 55, 20 down to verse 23, and have me Proverbs 3, 31 through 33, and young lion have me Sirach 12, 10 through 18. Hey, Mother E, Psalm 55, verse 29 to verse 23, then just slide right on down to Proverbs 3, verse 31 down to verse 33, and the young lion going to pick it up in Sirach 12, 18, 20, just to add a reminder to our elder what he needs to, although we know he know it, but this just will be a reminder. What is that, Mother E? You on the clock. Come on.
Psalm chapter 55, verse 20. Psalm chapter 55, verse 20. He has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. Proverbs 3:31-33.
Hold on, Mother. I need from 55, pick up verse 20 and take it right on down to verse 23. Then give me Proverbs 3, 31, straight on down to 33. So come on back to 55 and give me a little bit. I need a little bit more there, Mother.
Okay.
55, 20, straight on down to verse 23. Come on.
Okay, so I'm 55, verse 20. He has put forth his hand against such as he had peace with him. He has broken his covenant. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were fuller than butter, but woe was in his mind. His words were salt than oil, yet were they drawn forward. Verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, keep your eyes on the prize. Make sure your decision that you make that the Almighty is up front. That what Mother just got through reading. And now she put a precept that to Proverbs 3:31 down to verse 33. What did it say there, Mother?
The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 31 to 33. 31. Envy not the oppressor, and choose not of his ways. 32. For the forward is abomination to the Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. 33. The curse of the Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but the blessing the inhabitants of the just.
Mm-hmm. So we clear them. It tells us to be very careful on the wicked. Mm-hmm. It's always be very careful, although they might come to you skinning and grinning. Mm-hmm. It might be the one that gets great promotion. To always understand, okay, good. It's good peoples all over the country. But remember, the Bible going to stand as a collective body. Because remember, the Almighty, he goes by nations, not individuals. He gets individuals to tell to the nations. So you might have a good person somewhere, but we talking about that as a collective body. Never forget what you're hearing. And our young lion, now Seer came after. He heard David, he heard Solomon. Then a Seer picked up on that in Sirach 12, verse 10 through 18, young lion. And let's see did he deviate from what he heard from his old fathers. Sirach 12, 10 through 18, young lion, bring it.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10 down to verse 18. Verse 10 reads, never trust your enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. Verse 11, though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him, and you shall be unto him as if you had wiped a looking glass. And you shall know that his rust hath not been altogether wiped away. Verse 12. Set him not by you, lest when he hath overthrown you, he stand up in your place. Neither let him sit at your right hand, lest he seek to take your seat. And you at the last remember my words and be pricked therewith. Verse 13. Who will pity a charmer that is bitten with a serpent, or any such as come now with beast? I mean, as come now wild beast. Verse 14. So how that go to a sinner and is defiled with him in his sin? Who will pity? 15. For a while he will abide with you, but if you begin to fall, he will not tarry. 16. An enemy speaks sweetly with his lips, but in his mind he imagines how to throw you into a pit. He will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, he will not be satisfied with blood. Verse 17. If adversity come upon you, you shall find him there first. And though he pretends to help you, yet shall he undermine you. Verse 18. He will shake his head and clap his hand and whisper much and change his counsel.
Mm-hmm. So now he tell you never trust your enemy. It might come with the best deal in town. But understand one thing. The Bible gonna stand and make sure if you understand what the word never means, don't do it. Now, Mother E, read me the book of Judges for a minute. Judges chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. And Brother Mackay, I'm gonna meet you over there in the 8th chapter, 1st Maccabees, and we'll get a case in point. Now, when you are forewarned what not to do, I don't care what decision they make for you. Listen to me real carefully, Sister Judah Israel. Listen to the old seer real carefully. They might all of a sudden have one of the greatest deal on the table. But when you understand what the Bible says, never, then understand whatever they put on the table is always a special meeting at the table to trap you up one way or the other. Keep that in your mind. That's a tip to Sister Judah Israel. Got it. Good. All right. So now, what you reading there, Mother?
Judges chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And an angel of the Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Boaz and said, I make you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why has you done this? Verse 3. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their yaguas, false yaguas, shall be as snares unto you.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a snare unto you, because mm-hmm. the mental spirit came to tell Joshua, make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Not saying not do business with them. Do all the business you can. But do the business and go on about your business. Make no leagues with them. I mean, that means don't sit around and cat talking. And now I'm going to bite you out for dinner and you come to dinner. No, no, no. Take care of business. Go on about your business. Put your fringes on. Go on about your business. Now, here go a case in point with all of the information on the table. Now, here come a man that's done great things. He's done great things for the children of the Israelites. Done great things. And Brother Mackay, what did he do that we can read? Now, all of a sudden, all the great things he did, he understood what the Almighty was saying, and every time he got in the type, he kept the Almighty. But all of a sudden, he caught a little amnesia, just for a second. See, a little amnesia can cost you a lifetime. Here's a case in point. We go and look at 1 Maccabees chapter 8, verse 1 and 17, just to get warmed up there, young man. Can you help those say out in the book of 1 Maccabees chapter 8, 1 and 17, what it say?
The book of 1 Maccabees chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 17. Verse 1 reads, Now Judas had heard of the fame of the Romans, that they were mighty and valiant men, and such as would lovingly accept all that joined themselves unto them, and make a league of enmity with all that came unto them. Verse 17, In consideration of these things, Judas chose Europolis, the son of John, the son of Archos, and Jason, the son of Eleazar, and sent them to Rome to make a lead of enmity and confederacy with them.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in the 9th chapter when all that kumbaya was going on? What happened in the 9th chapter, young lion? Pick around by verse number 5. let's see what happened there, young man. Let's read 5 down to verse 17, and let's find out what happened. Now, the mental spirit had already told Joshua that he was the big general and the seer of that time about all this good stuff, and so it was passed down from generation to generation. So now, he was hammering all the nations down in grand style. He was hammering them down. That's why he called Judas the Hammer Maccabees. But now let's find out one thing: when you pay the seer or Yahweh's word, no, never mind. Pick with verse 5 down to verse number 17. Take it down to verse 18 and see what happens. Now all this good make leagues and everything gonna be all right. Now we in the 9th chapter, verse 5 down to verse 18. Young lion, take your time and bring your A game and come on.
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 5 down to verse 18. Verse 5 reads, now Judas had pitched his tent at Elasa. And 3,000 chosen men with him. 6. Who seeing the multitude of the other army to be so great, were so afraid, whereupon many conveyed themselves out of the host, and so much as there abode of them no more but 800 men. Verse 7. When Judas therefore saw that his host split away, and that the battle pressed upon him, he was sore troubled in mind and much distressed, for that he had no time to gather them together. Verse 8, nevertheless, unto them that remained, he said, let us arise and go up against our enemies, if peradventure we may be able to fight with them. Verse 9, but they abhorred him, saying, we should never be able. Let us now rather save our lives, and hereafter we will return with our brethren and fight against them, for we are but few. Verse 10. Then Judah said, Yahweh forbid that I should do this thing and flee away from them. If our time be come, let us die manfully for our brethren, and let us not stain our honor. Verse number 11. With that, the host of Bacchae removed out of his tent and stood over against them, their horsemen being divided into two troops, and their slingers and archers going before the host. And they that marched in the fort were almighty men. Verse 12. As for Bacchae, he was in the right wing. So the host drew near on the two parts and so sounded their trumpets. Verse 13. They also of Judah said, sighs, even they sounded their trumpets also, so that the earth shook at the noise of the army, and the battle continued from morning till night. Verse 14. Now when Judas perceived that Bacchae and the strength of his army were on the right side, he took with him all the hardy men, verse 15, who discomfited the right wing and pursued them unto the Mount Azotus, verse 15. But when they of the left wing saw that they of the right wing were discomfited, they followed up Judas and those that were with him hard at the heels from behind. Verse 17. Whereupon there was a sore battle, and so much as many were slain on both parts. Verse 18, Judas also was killed, and the remnant fled.
See that? Judas the Hammer Maccabee, remember, it was, if you read the story long enough, back to the left, Rome told them, if you get in any kind of tight, we got you back. And if anybody tried to come from us, we got everything covered. So Judas Maccabee, don't worry about nothing. Anything happen, your end that we can help, we're going to fly right to it right away. See that? So all of a sudden, but that was nothing but deceit. So Judas Maccabees going to ignore the seer and everybody that had the record saying, make no leagues. Always make sure the decision you're making, you got your Yahweh first. He chose not to do it. See what happened to him? The very thing he got into, Yahweh had, he put the fear in his men, and he just, then and there, cut him off. What we're trying to tell you, see, Ray, I don't care how good it looks. If you're going to go against Yahweh's word, don't do it, because you're going to lose. Find out what Yahweh's saying, and see do Yahweh support that and make your move. Because Yahweh is able to do whatever he wants to do, because he got the power to do what, mother? In Isaiah 45, mother, can we talk about the power of our Almighty One 6-8? In Isaiah 45, can we talk about his power a little bit there, mother? What is his power? He told the seer. He said, Isaiah, are you a seer of our right now? He said, yeah. Well, then you put down what I tell you to do about my power. In Isaiah 45:6 down to verse 8. What did it say there, mother?
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 to 8, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. Verse 7, I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and created evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things. Verse 8, drop down in heaven from above and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let this and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it.
Read verse 7 again there, Mother E. Read verse 7 again there, Mother again. What did verse 7 say again?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and created evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things.
Oh, so we quit to say, no, the devil made me do it. But now we're going to find out the devil ain't made nothing happen to you. The devil can't do nothing unless Yahweh allow it to happen. And the only way the devil gets chance when you transgress against what somebody was saying. Because he told Isaiah one more again, mother. What did he tell Isaiah in 45 verse 7? What did the Almighty tell Isaiah what he do? Come on.
Isaiah chapter 45 verse 7. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and created evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things.
Ain't that something? So when you hear him say, well, you know, that's the devil made, no, it's because your mighty one mad at you. See, that's your mighty one mad at you, and he, remember, he allows Satan to do once you don't want to do what he's telling you to do. That's why things happen to us, because we refuse to make a Bible decision. So you open the door for Satan to say, well, you know, your own record says that they transgress, sin against you, they belongs to me. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, who are sinning against me? And they love to find those in leadership. Oh, they sinned against you? They sinned against me? The Spirit said, yep, they did. But Satan going down there, just don't take his life. Going down there and whoop him up a little bit. See? That's what happened, see, Roy. So you got to know the rules and the regulations. I don't care how good the pie look. If it's to break what Yahweh's on the table, I pass. Make no league with the habits of the land, and I pass. So now you see what he's saying. That's a great thing. So he said, now, Mother, I need to get one more precept out of it. Now, he said, I do all these things. And run the aim of 3, verse 6. I want to hear that one more time. I need a precept on that, Mother. Amos 3, verse 6, and I want to hear verse 7. And who falls to inform about this good stuff? Let's see what it says in Amos 3, verse 6 there, Mother. Amos 3, verse 6.
Okay. Book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 6 reads. Book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6. Shall that trumpet be blown in the city, and people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Yahweh had not done it? Verse 7.
Oh. Go ahead.
Surely the Yahweh would do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the seer.
Uh-huh. Well, read verse 6 again, Mother. I kind of got excited a little bit, Mother. So can you read that for the national audience? Because every now and then, it don't take much to get those seers all happy. What did he say again in verse number 6?
Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Yahweh had not done it?
So Mother, if it's evil in your presence, or if it's evil in your household, who did it? If everything going right and everything is all good, who caused that?
Yahweh.
Excellent. That means whatever state we in, remember, give Yahweh all the credit. If you over there and you know that you has got trouble in the household, you better have his all side your head and you side his head. Understand one thing. Yahweh's hand is in that too. If you got peace in your household, everything is peaceful, that's Yahweh did that too. Understand, give Yahweh all because Satan cannot do nothing unless Yahweh allow it to happen.
Right.
Now, young lion, now let's go and take a look at something while we on this subject matter, but we need to be clear about it. See, we got to be clear about the hand of the Almighty. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, can you see out what it says in verse 4, then skip down to verse 11 to 15. And verse number 21. Help those see out because, see, we want to be clear. If you don't have a peaceful mind on you, understand because you're not getting your Yahweh right. See, when you're getting your Yahweh right, he'll give you a peaceful mind, and remember a couple lessons ago, and you'll know when he's working with you because you have sweet sleep. I mean, you can't even count to five. You don't. And you have a sweet sleep until he decides to wake you back up. You see? So keep that in your mind. That's a sign to know is you're on the right track. How is your sleep life is? Do you hit the pillow and that's the end of it? Or are you tossing and turning all over the place? Huh? So now let's see what's going on here that we need to know. In the book of Isaiah, there, young line, look at verse 4, and then we'll skip down to verse 11, down to verse 15. Listen good, and 21. What it say there, young line? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4, 11 to 15. Listen, and 21, you on the clock. Come on, young line.
The book of Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 4, 11 down to verse 15 and verse 21. The book of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4 reads, since you was precious in my sight, you has been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Verse 11, I am the Yahuwah, and beside me there is no savior. Verse 12, I have declared and I have saved and I have showed where there was no strange Yahuwah among you. Therefore, you are my witness, said Yahuwah, that I am Yahuwah. Verse 13, yes, before the day was I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Verse 14, thus says Yahuwah, your Redeemer, the Righteous One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. Verse 15, I am the Yahuwah, your Righteous One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
They shall show forth my praise. So now, do you know that you are people, that he created a people? And guess what your number one job is? Huh? Mm-hmm. To show forth his praise. Mm-hmm. He said, that's why he created. So once you find out that you are Israel, the Israelite, guess what your number one job is? To show forth his praise. Now, he talked to one people, and we'll back up to 15 and make sure he's talking to one people. So what is your number one job to do in life? To show forth his praise. That's number one. Everything else is added. Hold that point. Let's get a case in point. Mother E, just give me a case in point in the book called the 6th chapter, verse 24 of Matthew and 33. See, once we understand this, when you sit around your peers and everything, and you say, well, what is your goal, your number one goal? What is your goal? Well, you know, I want to, no, that ain't your number one goal. That's if you a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Your number one goal is to show forth your praises to your mighty one. That's number one. Everything else, Mother E, Israel, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, going to tell you about it, that what he said, if you got anything else on your mind in St. John 6, I mean, make it Matthew 6. 24 of Matthew and 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and 33. Thank you again there, Mother V. Come on there, Mother V.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and verse 33. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Yea, you cannot serve Yahuwah and man. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahuwah and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
He said, first thing you do, you get him right. And all the things that you want without compromising, he'll make sure you'll get it. But make sure you got your mighty one right. Make sure you got your mighty one. Your mighty one go by one name. YHWH. Make sure you got him right. Now, you're online. So we understand that thing, but then he told old seer something. He started talking to the old seer. And let's see what he said to old seer in verse 22, and we'll read down to get our point. Now, he said all that good stuff to the seer to go back and tell the nation of Israel how he stands. He said, the reason why you breathing the breath you breathing today is because of my doing. He said, your number one job is to show forth my praise. That's number one. Everything else is out. It's added onto you after you get him right. So look in the mirror. Tell me, are you getting him right? Verse 22 is real a bit. Now watch me tell old Isaiah here. Tell me that young lion, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, picking up at verse 22. 22 reads, but you has not called upon me, O Israel, but you has been weary of me, O Israel. Verse 23. You has not bought me the small cattle of your burnt offerings, neither has you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with an offering, nor weary you with incense. 24. You have bought me no sweet.
So the man said, I'm watching you. He said, I'm watching you. He said, everything I got written, you have a problem to have alligator arms on it. He said, what I got written, I don't see you doing it. So Paul had to come back, Mother E. So Paul had to come and go to the southern kingdom and look them eyeball to eyeball and say, listen, I got a problem with you. I got a problem. Hey, Isaiah, the seer. I got a problem with these Israelites. He said, now, what I got written, I don't see no action in it. I mean, I see a few doing this, but a lot of them catching amnesia. So Paul had to come, hold it, put a marker there, young lion. And me and Mother going to make a stroll down into Hebrews chapter 7. Now, he sent Paul to the temple on the right side of the book. He sent him down to the temple on the right side of the book. He said, now, go down to the temple, Paul, and get on the microphone. Peter going to let you get on the microphone. And how in the microphone, what I got written, I don't see it in no urgency of doing it. So in the book of Hebrews there, Mother, can you help me out in lines and 7 verse 2? Can you help those say, I don't need about 2 lines to get me warmed up, Mother. I need about 2 lines because Paul was told to go to the temple where all the Israelites is at. And stand there for a minute, Paul, and I'm going to speak to you there. And what he says is give me 2 lines and verse 2. All I need is 2 lines. What is 1.5 line? That's good enough. What is it that we can read, Mother?
Hebrews.
The book of the Israelites. That's what the Hebrews is. Hebrew, the word Jew, only means the book of the Israelites. So both words is out of order. Pertaining to the children of Israel. Jew is out of order. Hebrew is out of order. Both words is out of order. So, what did it say we can read in verse 2? Give me 2 lines there, Mother. Give me a line and a half. What did it say, Mother?
Hebrews believe for evil. Chapter 7, verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave the
10th
part of all first.
Good. That's good enough. So Abraham is our first grandfather that produced Isaac and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. But this is our grandfather. So now, are you greater than our grandfather? That was Paul was telling the northern kingdom and the southern kids, the great big temple. And what did he say about what he was doing in verse 4, Mother? What was he doing in verse 4?
Okay. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even this patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the law.
He said, now consider how great Abraham was. He gave a tenth of all. That means everything he got his hand on, he's making sure one thing, it get to the right spot, a tenth of all. You know, consider how great he was. Now I'm going to ask you, who greater than Abraham? Get down to verse number 6, what is that? 6 and 7.
6 through 7.
Yeah, we'll make it 6 to 8. We'll make it 6 to 8.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 6 through 8.
No, stay where you at, Mother. No, stay where you at, Mother. Stay where you at. Just scroll down a little bit. And take it verse 6. Now you might well go and take it straight on down to verse number 10. So take your time, okay, Mother, in the 7th chapter, and just walk it straight on down from the 6 down to verse 10, and we'll get on back to where we was at. What did it say? Okay. So Paul was invited to tell the children of Israel, although you in captivity, but the reason why you in captivity, because you don't remember what the Almighty had written. 6 down to verse 10, come on.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 6 to 10. But he whose descendants is not counted from them received guidance of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the best is best of the best of the best. Verse 8, and here men that died received tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witness that he lived. Verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Verse 10, but he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
And Melchizedek is Yahweh's. So that means Levi paid 500 years in advance, and guess what? We are in the loins of the children of Israel as we speak. So just as we was in the loins of them, and Levi was in the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so are we in the 12 tribes of Israel. So Paul had to come to the great big temple of the southern kingdom and remind them what's written in his Bible on the left side, y'all paying it no never mind. So my job was raised from the womb, he said, in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16, to remind you that I was raised from the womb to jumpstart you to get back on your job on what he told you to do that you agreed on to do all the way back in Exodus. Okay? Now, coming back to the young line, so we got that out the way. He said, I'm watching y'all. He said, y'all weary of me, and I'm getting weary of you. That's what he said. Now, we're coming back, young lion, to the 43rd chapter. He's still talking his talk. What he said in verse 24? Let's read. What he said in verse 24?
Okay, we're going back over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I'll pick it up at verse 24 reads. You have bought me no sweet cane with money, neither has you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have made me to serve with your sins. You have wearied me with your singing.
You made the bed. He said, you don't worry with me. He said, I'm watching you. He said, y'all don't worry with me. I got it where it's plain, hey, Mullen, 28:12 of Deuteronomy. He said, I've done something that I've never done to nobody. I put a Deuteronomy 28:12 on you children of Israel. What are you talking about, Mother, he did in Deuteronomy 28:12? See, when you, every time you got in captivity, don't you know nations came everywhere to find out, well, hey, can I grab me one from Judah? Let me grab me one from Judah. You know why? It's something that they know that you don't know. Not what they know that you don't know. And you think it's yourself. 28:12, what did it say that Mother, we can read out of Deuteronomy? What did it say?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28:12. Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land and his seed, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow.
You see that? He said, you see that thing right past your wrist? That thing right past your wrist, you think it's you, huh? No, Yahweh, I'm blessed the works of your hand. Yahweh is the one got that thing past your wrist. That thing you move them fingers around. Yahweh, bless your hands. That's why everybody always look for you to be in their kitchen. I remember one time we were sitting in a restaurant, and the dough, big time restaurant, had the elders with it. And the dough split open, and guess who was behind the dough back there making them biscuits? Old Judah. Old Judah back there making them biscuits. He is all in the back room. You see that? They know one thing. The world knows this, but you don't know that. The blessing is in your hand, and every time you want to go run and grab onto their thing, and the blessings in your hand. And that's why they always put you on it. Everything happens, pyramids all over the world, whatever, everything is a blessing. They know if they got you, even the book of Maccabees, they came and grabbed you, but they heard you that Antioch of Epiphanes, the sons of Esau, got y'all in a kung fu grip. And they said, can I buy me a couple of more old Judas? Because they know one thing. Whatever you touch with your hand, it's gold. But you think you ain't nothing. But you are the lead of everything. You the one that he came down through. He told you that all the goodness I'm going to do for you. But he said, always get me right. As long as you get me right, I'll be a mother. I'll be a Psalm 91:1 with you. It's up to you. Hey, Mother E, he said, I'll be a Psalms 91:1 with you. That's if you got me right. No, 91:1-2. Let's see what he told old David to put in writing. So ain't nobody going to bring it out but the six anointed camps. He said, listen, I'm best the work of your hand. Psalms 91:1-2. What? What is for that, Mother E?
The book of Psalms, chapter 91:1-2. 91. Psalm chapter 91. Verse 1 and verse 2. Okay.
Yes.
Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress. My Yahweh, in him will I trust.
Verse 3,
surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowl and from the noise itself. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust his truth, he'll be thy shield and buckler.
That's it. He's saying right now, he said, if you got him right, I'm going to buck down, I'm going to knock down everything in front of you. I'm going to cover you when you need me the most, I'll be there. You remember that old record a long time ago? That Jackson 5 made, I'll be there? Where do you think you got that from? He said, you know, if you look and you got me right, you understand what I said. You remember what the young lion read? What you mean, WCC? What did he read? Come on back, young lion, back to the, and read what he says in verse 12. He made a profound statement in verse 12 of the 43rd chapter, young lion. And what he said again that we can read for the WCC, the 500 million members, that's the second to only the Catholic Church. But they broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. That's what they did. They broke away. What can we read in 43 verse 12, that young lion? Come on.
Okay, we're going back over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, picking up at verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, I have declared and have said, and I have showed, when there was no strange Yahweh among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Yahweh.
He said he don't like that strange stuff. If he done told you what time it is, he don't like no strange stuff to come out of you, nation of Israel. Now, okay, with that, understand, he likes nothing strange to come out. Don't do nothing that the Bible don't support. That's what he just said. Now, read verse 25. Watch this. Now he said, I don't like nothing strange out of you because I get very nervous and I got to pull a rabbit out of the hat. He said, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but you might as well get pull a rabbit out of the hat behind that. He don't like nothing strange. Once you know the truth of the matter, the clock start ticking. Matter of fact, read that more just to make sure. Give me St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. Once you understand what this man's saying, it's just like a clock start ticking. It's up to you to make adjustment according to once you say you know. Look what he says in St. John, Mother E, 9, verse 40 and 41. What does it say that we can read? What does it say that we can read there, Mother?
The book of St. John, chapter 9. Verse 40 and verse 41. St. John chapter 9, verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? 41. Yahweh the Son said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now, he said, we see. Therefore, your sins remain.
He said, the Pharisees, the Herodians, Herod, that's who the Herodians is, who on his own, on Herod's pay, that was on his paycheck. He said, are we blind also, too? He said, what you saying? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He said, well, your sins remain. See, once you know this thing, your sins remain. See, now the clock starts ticking. Now, the young mind going to get a case in point how he operates. And that was Paul was doing coming to the kingdom of the temple. He said he don't like that strange stuff. We read this in Isaiah. See, Isaiah pulled this verse from 10:1. Let me show you something. We ain't going to read all of it. We ain't going to make no meal out of it, but get an idea of once you understand what the man has said, you know who you are, and you chose not to keep him first. The book said keep him first. The clock will start ticking. Let's see what we can read and get a case in point in 10 verse 1 of a book called Leviticus. What if that young lion can't warn Leviticus? Come on.
We're going over to the book of Leviticus. We want to read chapter 10. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Leviticus, chapter 10. We're picking up at verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, the seer, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Yahuwah, which he commanded them not."
Hold on, man. Let me get in there. Since you paused, you must want the old seer to get in there. Now, we just got through reading what Yahuwah and Isaiah was rehearsing the righteous act. When we got through reading in Isaiah 43, verse 12, Yahuwah said, I don't like that. Tell them, Isaiah, I don't like that strange stuff. So don't do nothing strange. You going to do something because you in your fields. No. Make sure you don't do nothing strange now. Once you know this, that's when the clock starts ticking. So you know once it's told to you what he's saying that you can read it for yourself. So make sure you don't do strange stuff, because Yahuwah don't like that strange stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so he sent him back to a book called Leviticus. And Aaron was the seer at that time. Moses was the Yahuwah at the time. So Moses was to teach Aaron, and Aaron taught his son. He was told earlier to his sons through their father, Aaron the seer, Yahuwah don't like no strange stuff now. So don't mess around, start getting your and do no strange stuff. That's what they did. So we read verse 1. So they offer strange fire to the almighty four-letter man. Well, in verse 2.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 2 down to 6, verse 2 reads, "And there went out fire from the Yahuwah and devoured them, and they died before the Yahuwah." Verse 3, Then Moses said unto Aaron the seer, "This is it that Yahuwah spake, saying, I will be sanctifying them that come near me. And before all the people, I will be honest." And Aaron the seer held his peace. Verse 4. And Moses called Mishael and Eleazarphan, the sons of Uzziah, the uncle of Aaron the seer, and said unto them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the temple out of the camp." Verse 5, "So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said." Verse 6, "And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his son, uncover not your head, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brother, the whole family of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahuwah has kindled."
Yeah. So you thought when you watch the eyes on the prize or roots and all that stuff, when they go take your great big black bucket, put him on display and beat his back real good, but he makes sure everybody's come outside and see you get your back beat. You think they created that? No, they didn't create none of that. They looked in your book and found out that's how he rolled. So Yahuwah said, you take these dignitaries outside and you lay them out there and call all the 12 tribes of Israel and behold the burning of Yahuwah. So yeah, and they gonna say, God dog. Them big dignitaries up. What did they do? They done some strange stuff. They told Yahuwah. They always start at leadership first. So never get excited and do no strange stuff once you know what the man is telling you to do. this man tell you this is the way, you do the way the man tell you to do. Because your pocket starts ticking. As a matter of fact, let's precept that young lion. And give me that. We all read the book of Isaiah. Let's precept that. But he don't like no strange stuff. So one thing about it, if you know what you're crazy to do, do what the man tell you to do. In the 49th chapter there, young lion, I need to give you a point. And operates. In the 49th chapter, hit those C out. He says something, but I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now, young line. He makes a profound statement on something, but the old seer is struggling right now. And what did he say that we can read that I don't see a need? He said something that don't see a need. And right now, he's struggling. So now, I want to know what is he saying, but I ain't telegraphing nothing. So he's saying something there, young line. And Dole Seal is struggling. Can you help Dole Seal out on what he's saying there, young line? You know, Mother E and Mother Z in the background, but Dole Seal is struggling right now. So can you help Dole Seal out on what's on his mind?
I'm trying to see what
we can read. It's something on the seal's mind that we can read, and that's what that big room was created for on Tuesday. That y'all been over there, y'all were rehearsing the righteous act, because the seal might need a couple little hits every now and then, because Yahweh will say, "I'll do seal. I'm gonna blank you for a minute." And when you can see what them young lions is doing, if they able to hold on in case you want to get you a little herbal tea and take a little quick nap or something. So now, he made a profound statement in the 30th chapter there, young lion. We was all good. In the 30th chapter, this is what he says in the 30th chapter. He says something in the 30th chapter, round by verse number 20 to 21. Matter of fact, read verse 19 just to make it sound good. In Isaiah 30, verse 19, we need a subject matter to be talking to, and take it down to verse 21. What it say?
Okay, the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 19 down to verse 21. Book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 19, read. For the people should dwell in Yadah Judah. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. Verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and a water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way. Walk you in. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Ain't that something? And you hearing your teachers right now. You in the Sixth Anointed Council. Come on. Six nights a week. We're telling you this is the way. The way is to make a decision according to what the book is saying. This is the way. Don't go to the left and don't go to the right. Stay straight on so you can receive your blessing in your mighty one. As long as you make a decision by leaning to your left and leaning to the right, you're holding back your blessings. Matter of fact, Mother E, make it plain what he said in the 78th chapter, verse 40 and 41. You see what the sinner do? It'll come to you to do the same thing. That's worse you lie with him. Because in that very same hour, he'll teach you what he wants you to put on the table. You might have plenty of things on your mind. He said, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but that's on your mind, sir. But I want to hear, right now, me some 78, 40, 41 of our song. That's what I want to hear. So what you do, whatever you got on your mind, put it aside and go do what the Almighty tell you to do, 78, verse 40 and 41. What it say that, Mother E? What it say in the Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41?
The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verses 40 and 41. Verse 40. How often did they provoke me in the wilderness and grieve him in the depth? 41. Yea, they turn back and tempt Yahweh and limit the righteous one of Israel.
Did him? He said, they tempt him. So they limit his hand. It's like you got your bad grandbaby over somewhere. He said, hey, grandma, grandpa, I hear the ice cream truck outside. He said, yeah, I hear it too. He said, I would have got it, but look what all the stuff you tore up over there around the, tore up things like, you know. So you limit my hand. I would have helped you. Nah, I ain't going to do nothing for you because right now you got us bad. And the same thing Yahweh is saying. All the blessings I got for you. Matter of fact, it's so plain in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Mother. Hey, Mother E, what it says we can read in 2, verse 9? He made it so plain to you, but you keep on paying the old seal, no, never mind. I don't care what you got, what you've seen on TV. Well, you know, I plan on moving over here in Beverly Hills or California. So what? Do you know what Yahweh told Paul to write to all the big dignitaries that got a chance they could find their $10 in their pocket? Look, he told them that in 2 verse 9, Mother. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, what he said that we can read?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him.
Yeah. He said, you ain't seen it on TV, you ain't seen it on radio, and your mind ain't even imagined what he got prepared for them that love him.
Right.
He said, not on that, you can read it. 64, verse 4, hey, Mother. Give me eyes there. Where can you read all that good talk at? Tell me something. Can you precept your Bible? Do things get away from you? You know why it's getting away from you? Because you ain't doing right. When you do right, Yahweh step up to the table, and he'll do right. He'll have it where you got a peace of mind in the brain. How you know you got a peace of mind in the brain? Because when you can precept your Bible, that's when Yahweh is working with you. He'll give you the key word in there to always precept your Bible. And that's shit all the game sales out. But if you see yourself, you can't precept it, that doesn't mean one thing. He ain't totally working with you. Huh? But when we see that you can precept your Bible on the drop of a hat, that means one thing. Yahweh hand on you, huh? And then old Sid will be looking, let me write this person down. Put a note on that. That's the game changer right there, when you can precept your Bible. Remember, every verse in the Bible has a precept answer to it. Every verse that you read is a precept verse to it. 64, verse 4, what it say there?
Isaiah,
we can read.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4. But since the beginning of the world, man has not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he has prepared for thee, him that wait for him.
So you see what his wait is? His wait is his love. If you're waiting on him, then he said, you ain't, so now Paul was quoting what was already laid to bring back to the minds of the children of Israel. So whatever you got or whatever you seen somebody else got, they say he got somebody was the somebody is the richest man that ever lived. You remember that brother guy on the airway called Ye? Say, I'm the richest black man that ever, that's on the face that ever lived. And by the time he get it out of his mouth, that Yahweh had cut him down to can't make that statement no more. Because you're not rich unless you, mother, back up. You're not rich unless you got some Luke 12. If you ain't got no Luke 12 on you, see, this is when you're rich. See, I watch the best on Bump the Gum, but what is the Bible rich? See, you watch the best on, say, you know, they got a list of 10 most richest, famous peoples in the world. Yeah? But what do the Bible say about this good riches that we can read? The Bible says in the 16th chapter, there, Mother E, what do the Bible talks about this good riches that we can read? And the 16th chapter, I'm struggling again. I can't pull out my hammer. So I'm kind of struggling right here now, Mother. I'm struggling. The old seal's struggling again, you know. He's struggling again. So now he's struggling because he can't pull out his hammer. So back down to the 12th chapter. Because sometimes, same book, Luke. You remember over there in the 17th chapter of Exodus, they knew if Moses, the seer, the Yahweh at that time, they knew if he get weary, they ain't got a chance to win. So they knew Moses was struggling to stand up there to hold his hands up to for the children of Israel. But automatic, he didn't have to have no conversation with him, with nobody. They knew to go put something up on the Moses' hand to make sure his hand stay up in the air. If they had to get into a tree, and you know, you put your legs in the tree and hang your hand down and hold his hand up. They had to hold his hand up. See, that's the problem I'm trying to tell you, see, right here. You have to understand something. That ain't nothing changed from this book. They knew if Moses stood tall and his hand is hanging up in the air, people know to keep coming. They put a stone up on the Moses' hand to make sure they see Moses stand tall, and they kept coming. That's Sanjay trying to tell you. But you don't pay the seal, no, never mind. That's what it is. Y'all don't pay the old seal, no, never mind. One day you will. Now, in the 12th chapter, Mother, what can we read? 19 and 20. And we'll get the answer in 21. Let's look at 19:20 and we'll get the answer in verse 21. See, I don't pay the old seal, no, never mind. Okay. But look what it says over here about all the rich and the famous. They said, who is the most richest people in the world? They got some 2-3 sinners of Esau. Matter of fact, the majority of them is sinners of Esau. But that's another lesson to show exactly how they got their riches. But let's talk about this in Luke chapter 12, 19 on verse 21. It's the Bible say. Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, I have much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But Yahweh said unto him, thus food, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whom shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lay up treasures for himself and is not rich towards Yahweh.
Ain't that something? You hear that, Mama E? So you see that? You see what he called you? Y'all, well, you know, I'm going to do double time, triple time. I'm going to do all this. He said, "Die fool." He said, "You're doing all that to be rich on the world scene." He said, "But you ain't got nothing coming unless you're rich in Yahuwah. And the only way you'll be rich in Yahuwah, you got to have this word down pat. And we know when you got it. Because you hear that small, still voice tell you, take this and put that with that one. Oh, hold that point there, seer. Put this with that one. Then you hear that small, still voice kick in and tell you one thing. Every verse in the Bible have a precept answer. The world reads the Bible one way, carnally, worldly. But we know the Bible got a double meaning on every verse. And those that bring it out is who Yahuwah working with. And that's the game changer. You got that point? But you said WCC, you ain't lying about that. Well, WCC, the World Council of Churches, the bottom line is you got to precept your Bible, but you got to do it in order. Come back, young man. Come back to that 44th chapter. And let's get a little bit more. I'm going to show you something. Now, you examine yourself. I want to know is you in order. In the 43rd chapter, we was reading something. And now we're going back to the 43rd chapter. Now, there's a point in here we want to bring out. Because we're going to take care of something in this lesson properly. Or we get it on the top part of the Sabbath day. Remember, back on the airways at 7:30 tomorrow. But the crash started when the sun set in all six locations. In the 43rd chapter, look what Yahuwah said in verse 25 there, you know what I'm lying? Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 25. Look what he says to Isaiah the seer in verse 25. Well, yeah, young lion, Isaiah 43, 25, what it say?
All right, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, picking up at verse 25 reads, "All right. Even I am he that blotted out your sin for my own sake and will not remember your sin."
See, I'm the one that blotted out your sin. See, now you got a religion that came up called the Catholic Church. Now they got you sit out in books telling a man about your sins. And he said, "Yeah, it sounds good. Now hit my golden cup now. Hit that cup. Confess your sins to man." But the Almighty said, he said, "No. See, now you're supposed to be knowing these things. The only one that can forgive your sin is your mighty one. That's the only one that can forgive your sin. And the closest one to that, and the closest one to that is what we can read. Hold that point there, young man. Go and read the closest to that, what we just said, in 4 verse 6. So right, 4 verse 6. Now, what's the closest thing to this? The closest one to that understanding is who? In 4 verse 6. Sirach.
Going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 4. We'll be picking up at verse number 6. The book of Sirach, chapter 4, verse 6 reads, "Reject not." The book of Sirach, chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, "For if he curse you in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer should be heard of him that made."
So you see, he said, you see, he told Sirach, he said, "Sirach, if you cursed him in the building of your soul, your prayer would be heard. Your prayer would be heard." You see what the man just said? So he said, now the closest thing that can be you a half a shot at this, you just got through reading it. He said, if he cursed you, I just don't like the way you act. And he sit around and curse you in the bitter of his mind. That's what the soul means. He said his prayer would be heard from the mighty one. See? Now that's the closest thing you can get to somebody saying what you they are. Now you want to get a preacher. Now look at Latter-day Saint. Can I get a second witness on that? Back up to 1 Samuel, that young man. You want to get a second witness? Okay, we'll give you a second witness. We'll give you a precept. We don't mind giving you a precept because we
we know one thing, the Bible will give you belly. So we see going to get a precept on this. Now, we look at the whole nation of Israel. They was in a tight. And let's see what they say that we can read. In the seventh chapter, the whole nation of Israel, they was in trouble. They were doing some things as we doing right now. In verse 3 that we can read there, verse 3 and 4. What were they doing that we can read that taking old Samuel here to come by and pay him a visit? 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. What were they doing that we can read there, young lion?
All right. We're going over to 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 3 and verse 4. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 3 reads, "And Samuel the fifth spake unto all the family of Israel, saying, If you do return unto Yahuwah with all your mind, then put away the strange Yahuwah and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your mind unto Yahuwah, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the land of the Philistines." Verse number 5.
The hand. He's going to deliver you out of the hand. He's going to deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. If you get your Yahuwah right, he'll deliver you out of whatever you own. He'll get you out of it. Go ahead. 4.
Verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Baal and Asherah and serve Yahuwah only.
And they put away Satan. Anything Satan got on the table, they put it away. And they serve Yahuwah only. See, you got to serve the four-letter man only. Can't be selling the fence. No. See, the people, see, that's how we read it last night, less than a night before last, whenever it was, that the job is big on the six anointed camps now, because at that time they knew the Sabbath day, they knew the feast day, they knew the wear fringes, knew all that good stuff. But now we don't know nothing. They knew his name. Now all them folks made the power points, we don't have a clue about it. And they knew this right here. And they knew this, that we don't know this today, but they know it. Because how do we know we don't know it? The largest organization is the Roman Catholic Church, right? Let's see what the children of Israel knew then that they don't know now. Let's see what they know now. They knew then, but they ain't got a clue about it now. Verse 5.
Okay. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "And Samuel the seer said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Yahuwah."
Hey, that's he hit the man to see it. He said,
"Hallelujah, well,
gather all the nation of Israel together." And he said, "I will pray for the nation of Israel." Now you over there run to a confession booth. The one got the golden cup. You tell him what you did. And he got the golden cup there. He said, "Well, now he's gone. Fill my golden cup up, and then your sins is forgiven." You see that? And now you hook, line, and sink on that. The number one organization in the world says, "Come to my confession booth, sit outside the glass. You ain't going to see me, but you're going to see the golden cup or a sliding door. You know how you put your mail through the sliding door? It'll fall in the golden cup. Tell him what you did, and then I'll tell you if that envelope pretty good in the golden cup." Then said, "Son, your sin is forgiven." See that? See, people saying that didn't work. Samuel said, "Gather all the nation of Israel together at Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Yahuwah." Let's see if they start talking smack behind that. Verse 6. Let's make a little meal out of it. What happened in verse 6?
Okay. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, "And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Yahuwah and fasted on that day. And said there,
we have sinned against Yahweh, and Samuel is still judged the children of Israel in Mizpah.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Who judged them down?
Samuel, this is it.
Verse 7.
And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Yahweh of Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines.
Verse 8, and the children of Israel
said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Yahweh, our Yahweh, for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Verse 9. What did the children of Israel say?
All the children of Israel with one voice. What they say again in verse 8 that we can read?
Verse 8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel the seer, "Cease not to cry unto Yahweh, Yahweh for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines."
We ain't got a clue. We run around trying to find a confession booth for somebody on the other side from another nation and tell them what we are saying. What do you do? Well, did what I did. I mess around and put the bang on about 4 or 5 of them. He said, "Well, you know, you got to really hit that slot real good behind that. And your sins forgiven." "Oh, my sins forgiven?" "Yes, it's forgiven." Because remember, back in the days, all the big dignitaries, they was all metropolis. They'd do all that dirty work, come to your lounge and take your liquor out and bust inside the head with a couple bottles on their head, chew everything. First thing in the Roman Catholic Church, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, confessing what they did. He says, "Son, your sin is forgiven." See that? And then you go skipping on out and ready to go do it again. See that? Now, what happened? They was upset. They very upset. They nervous in verse 8. And what happened in verse 9?
Okay. First Samuel chapter 7, verse number 9 reads, "And Samuel the seer took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto Yahweh. And Samuel cried unto the Yahweh for Israel, the Israelites. And the Yahweh heard him."
Wait a minute. And Yahweh done what?
Yahweh heard him.
Done what?
And the Yahweh heard him. And the Yahweh heard him.
Him. Him, not them. See, a majority don't rule here. He didn't hear them. He heard him. That's who Yahweh heard. And you know in Malachi 3 verse of a mother. What it says in Malachi 3 verse 6 that we can read. So when you watch all over the world today, and Malachi the seer was on the clock in 3 verse 6, and what did he put in writing, 3 verse 6?
Okay. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, 3. "But I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed."
I don't change. I don't know what y'all got going today, but I don't change. If the way I did it then, that's the way I'm doing it now. If I don't change, the way I was doing it then, that's the way I'm doing it now. Now back up to Sirach, mother, and give me 12, verse 6. And what do you say? Sirach 12, verse 6. He said, "Guess what?" He said, "Tell them, Sirach, the same thing that's on the left side It's the same thing going on right now. Sirach 12:6. He said, now, Sirach, put this down in the book. Ain't too many going to pay it, no, never mind. But I want you to, we know it's going to be a camp called the Voice of the True Israelite. They're going to read this verse concerning me. Sirach 12:6, what it say?
Sirach 12:6. For the Most High hated sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment.
Wait a minute. I thought you said he's love. What do he hate, mama? You say he told us he what?
Sinners.
What do we hate?
Sinners.
Oh.
I hate sinners.
We hate them. That's what we hate. He hates sinners. So, if that's the case, what is the biblical definition of sin there, young lion? Before you read that, come on back to 1 Samuel 7:15. Oh, so he hates sinners? 1 Samuel 7:15. Young lion.
The book of 1 Samuel 7:15. Read. And Samuel the seer judged Israel all the days of his life.
Now, the only thing they got right, man, all them big organizations, they have the man called the Pope. Only way you can get him out, he got to die. See they do? Now you see where that came from? That came from Yahweh, led the children of Israel. The only way you can get rid of Samuel the seer, he got to die. That's the only way you can get rid of him. And he the only one that Yahweh said, I'm going to hear the seer. Now look at that. Well, something ain't adding up. Well, you put some book on it. And we just found out that Yahweh hates sinners. And now we back to 1 John 3:3-22. Young lion, they're coming right back to that 43rd chapter and tie that in. And then I'm going to meet you over there in Matthew 9:1. And the right side, what the right side answer is to this. So Yahweh hates. But we know what the biblical definition of sin is. When it's stressful. From a cigarette, because all cigarettes is bad for your health. But he hates sin. What is the sin that we can read biblically? 1 John 3:3-22, what it say?
1 John 3:3-22. 1 John 3:3 reads, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his laws and do those things which are pleasing in his sight.
So how do the big dignitaries getting all these blessings, and they breaking the law?
Mm-hmm.
Almighty is saying one thing in the Bible, and they're doing contrary to the Bible, but they're getting all the blessings. Now, I don't understand that. Maybe mother can help those see out and find out, well, wait a minute, if they able to do all this that we can see, and the Almighty One is up and away, the Father and Son, say they hate sinners. And sinners is those that break the Torah first five books, that he hate them. But then we see everybody skipping the loop and say they up on a blessing. So now we got to find out if that's the case, is the Almighty lying about anything? But in Titus 1:2 there, young lion, what do Yahweh, What did Paul tell Titus about Yahweh when it come down to some lines? Let's see what he said in Titus 1, verse 2 that we can read, that young man. What he said that we can read?
The book of Titus, chapter 1, picking up at verse number 2. The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2 reads, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
So Yahweh ain't lying. He said he ain't lying. So now we understand you gotta, you know, they get on the networks and say that he heard my prayer and he blessed me with a brand new house. I went over to the Roman Catholic Church and confessed my sins, and by the time I got to the car, that big roll I left, another big roll came to me. But you forgot. It came the way that the world brought it. In the book of Matthew, dear mother, help those say out there, mother, I want to find out one thing. Is the Bible supporting its blessing that they receive? Because Yahweh said he ain't lying. If you are a sinner, I don't hear you. That's what he's saying. Well, see, he didn't say that. He didn't hear it. Look at the Roman Catholic Church, Big Timothy Dolan saying. He didn't say that. Well, he did say that, Big New York Station Roman Catholic Church. He did say it. Well, can we read that yet? Okay. Young Lion, let's make a little detour for a minute. Now, the New York Roman Catholic Church won't know where that at. He didn't say that at. How about give me Proverbs 28, verse 9? Let those see out. Let's see if we put a precept on the Roman Catholic Church out of New York. And 28, verse 9 said what? A Proverbs. Wise man of the world, what did he say?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read chapter 28, and we want verse number 9. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 9 reads, he that turned away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Yeah. He said, if you turn your ear from hearing the law, even your prayer is abomination. You're starting to put that in writing. So if you turn your ear from hearing the law, your prayer is a abomination. And that's what we read. Now, precept chapter 9, St. John. There, young line. Now, precept that. 9:31 of St. John.
Going over to the book of St. John. Chapter 9. Did you say 21?
St. John 9:31.
51, okay. The book of St. John.
9:31.
Yes, what
did it say?
The book of St. John, chapter 9, verse 31. 31 reads, now, we know that Yahweh hear not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, let him he hear.
Read it again.
The book of St. John, chapter 9, verse 31. 31 reads, now we know that Yahweh hear not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and do his will, him he hear.
Mm-hmm. You hear what Mother E and Z said? Mm-hmm. They said hallelujah on that. So that's how he wrote. So if he hear, if you're doing his will, then well, how did they bless him? How did they get that blessing? Maybe me and Mother gonna find out. Well, I got blessed. Oh, I got blessed. Okay, good. Let's find out in Matthew chapter 4 that we can read there, Mother. We're going to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll pick up verse number 8.
What does it say in 8, verse 9? Matthew 4, verse 8 and verse 9. What does it say in Mother we can read?
Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 4, mm-hmm. verse 8. Again, the devil, taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the greatness of them. Verse 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt bow down and worship me.
So Mother, is somebody else in the blessing business? He said, in the worship business. He said, show Yahweh the Son all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, past us. He said, look here. All that you see, even past old seer,
mm-hmm.
I can see. But you got to worship me. That's what he said. Worship me. Remember the young man a couple of nights ago, he read and Satan said, you know, I fail, and when you worship me, you're going to fail. Is that what he read over there? We ain't reading tonight. In Avenue 7, 1 through 11, he said, look here. When you fail, and now I'm king over you. See? So, you see, if somebody else in the blessing business also. He can worldly blessing you. You got to make sure you worship. The blessed day of the Bible is Genesis 2, verse 3, the Sabbath day, when the sun goes down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. If you're not keeping that day for worship, and you're keeping the first day of the week called Sunday, you're not worshiping the Father or the Son in heaven. You're worshiping Satan, the devil, according to the Bible. That's what it is. So you see, he in the worship bit. Now give me a precept on that, little Latter-day Saint. See, you got to give me a precept on that. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7, Mother. Let's get a precept on that. See, once you put a precept on it, that's it. Then you only speak after the precept is read. He'll give it to you. We're going to Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7. So remember one thing, Yahweh's day when the sun set on Friday to the sunset on Saturday. That's his Sabbath day. That's the Bible Sabbath day. What day you worship him on? Huh? And you got blessed on that day, didn't you? But now you know where your blessing came from that you can read. Luke, chapter 4, 5 down to verse 7, bring it.
The book of Luke, chapter 4. Verses 5 to 7. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the greatness of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will give it. Verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine.
Oh, hey, Mother, it got a stipulation to it. For me to receive all that power and all that glory, what do I got to do in return, Mother? According to verse 7.
Let's fall down. Oh, okay. If therefore, you worship me, and all shall be thine.
So, what I got to do to get all that glory and that power? What I got to do, Mother? According
fall
to verse 7.
I fall down and worship Satan the devil.
Oh, that's how I get it. Fall down and worship Satan the devil. The first
first day of the week is the day of the sun, as you mean, at your phone, to spy phone. What day is the first day of the week? Monday is the first day of the week. Well, why we keep the first day of the week? Who gave it to us? We just got to do a reading who gave it to you. So we're not going to keep that no longer. Come on back your line to the 43rd chapter. And we read verse 25 already. 43:25, let's read verse 26 down to verse 28. This is real good. Isaiah talking and Isaiah is listening and Yahweh talking to him through the spirit of Yahweh. Verse 26 down to verse 28. What happened?
The book of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26 down to verse 28. Verse 26 reads, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare you that you may be justified. 27. Your first father has sinned, and your teachers have transgressed against me. Verse 28. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the temple and have given Israel to the curse and Israel to reproach.
So now you see why you always get the short end of every stick now. Mm-hmm. When you cut this man out, why you got now you got what month this is? The January month, right?
Right.
He said, now you're going to be giving a tune in to what time do Eyes of the Prize come? They play it every year. They play it every year, the Eyes on the Prize. When they rehearse the good old days, how they whoop your back openly, how they do it now, secretly now. The Eyes of the Prize. When they put that water on you, say, put that water on me some more. He said, I'm just as equal as you. I don't care. Put that wild on me and beat me. You say, well, I beat you then, nigga. I don't beat you. So now that rating goes up all the time, every year. Eyes on the prize. And see, our problem is right here. We'll not do what the Bible tells us to do, and we get all our blessings from Satan the devil, according to what we read. Because Yahweh is in the blessing business and got him right. You might can find your $10. Where'd you get it from? How'd you get it? Huh? Who bless you? Satan in the blessing business. Yahweh's in the blessing business. So now you weigh where your blessing comes from. Now we go on to Matthew chapter 9 and get a precept of what we're reading right here. Because Yahweh said, I'm the only one can bless you. I'm the only one that close day might come to you if the overseer and he can get my ear. You can. That's what we read in Sirach 4 verse 6. We read that. So now we're going to the 9th chapter and get a precept of what we read in Isaiah. Now he said that in the spirit and now he come in the flesh. Now watch the difference in the 9th chapter verse 1. What did it say that young lion? 9:1.
The book of Matthew, chapter 9, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Yahweh the son, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemous. Verse 4.
Wait a minute. What kind of way? They didn't speak it out their mouth. They said to themselves, mm-hmm. They know that don't work. Like, it don't work like that. You can't go and sit in no confession boot and confess to no man about no sin. They said, look at this, we got the record. No, don't look like that. But look how it works now. You got a confession boot go all the way around the corner somewhere, like somebody giving something away. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The largest organization is the Roman Catholic Church. listen to WCC, and we are number two.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, you number two.
But you broke away from them, and you number two. Okay, good. Now, the largest organization in the world says you confess your sins to a man, and the scribes that knew the scriptures all the way back from Genesis and all, that's black to me. And they said, it ain't mine. But look what we do now. Now, we just like a duck heading to the a slaughter, and we in a man sitting behind a glass somewhere, and you confessing your sin to a man. That's to me you're doing. That's to me you I don't care if it's Big Timmy Dolan himself sitting behind there. That's blasphemy out of New York. Yeah, we might cut you off behind that.
Well,
it's up to you. So now, they said in their mind, that's blasphemy. But what did Yahweh say in verse 4? Nine, four. Come on, y'all line.
The book of Matthew, chapter 9. Verse number 4. Verse 4 reads, and Yahweh the Son, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your mind?
You see, man, he didn't think it was power. He reading the scribes' mind. These the ones that knew the law. And they know it don't work like that. If it worked like that way then, it don't work that way now. It don't work that way. You can't confess your sin to no man. And then you give him all your money and you go skip on out there saying my sin forgiven. That's blasphemy.
Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 8. 5.
Okay. Verse 5. For whether it's easier to say your sins be forgiven you or to say arise and walk.
Hey.
Verse 6.
Now listen good. Now Yahweh gonna tell you, that's up to you. You can continue. Remember what Mother read over there in St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. He said, once you know better and you continue you do it, then your sins remain. That's when your clock starts ticking. Once you know you don't have nobody that yourself. And you tell everybody that they're doing it, that's blasphemy, standing for some man, telling some man about in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, forgive my sin. And he said, your sin forgiven. You hit that golden cup, going about your business. That's blasphemy. And Yahweh going to make it plain. It's up to you to hear what Yahweh say in the next verse. This is what he say. Now, what did he say in verse 6?
Okay, verse 6 reads. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go unto your house.
Hey, that's something. So who got the power again, according to verse 6, to do this?
That's why the tongue. Verse 6, but that you may know.
That's it. Go ahead.
But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin.
That's it. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. So if you over there at a confession booth, you know, praying, telling some man about what you did and you hitting that golden cup, that's blasphemy. So all the one can do that is Yahweh the Son. And he ain't told the Roman Catholic Church nothing. But somebody else did tell him you can do it. You can do it because I got the power to temporarily bless you. But worldly. And that is Satan the devil. So if you get a confession book, confessing your sins and knowing what the Bible says is contrary to it, and you keep doing it, your clock will start ticking when you pay the old seal, no never mind, after you read it yourself. We're going to stop it right there and get on there and get his closing statements and take body. Remember one thing, the class come back on again tomorrow at 7:30. But the seven-day class is starting all six camps when the sun set. But back on the airways at 7:30. Hour here, Mr. Tibbs. You on the clock. Come on. What you saying, WCC? We got to mute somebody behind what you just said. We gonna mute the elder. He's through talking for tonight. Well, that's your radio station. You do what you want to do with that. So, elder, you muted out, but we catch you on that big station. We'll be all ears on that one. All right, now, it's time for the best part of broadcast to bring Mother Z in then. Now, Mother Z on her, all she needs to hear. Now, she going to come on and address this national 7,000 strong Mother Z, one of the mothers out of Camp One. So when you meet the mother out of Camp One, Mother Z, tribal young god Judah, y'all quite busy there, see, right?
They ain't coming on tonight, yeah.
Oh, she going to double up tomorrow? All right, hallelujah, I'll go on in. All right, just double up tomorrow. So we clear that Yahweh doing a lot of talking. Hey, Mother Z, you're doing a whole lot of talking. And what did Yahweh say in St. John chapter 20, verse 31? What do you say we can read in St. John 20, verse 31?
St. John chapter 20.
Mm-hmm. Verse 31.
St. John chapter 20, verse 31 reads, But these are written that you might believe that Yahweh the Son is the Ananias, the Son of Yahweh the Father, and that believe you might have life through his name.
So you got life in his name. So life is in his name. That's what he said. He said, you got to believe life is in his name. So if you ain't got his, you know, life in his name, I mean, now we've been reading some end time prophecy. See, life is in his name. This name right here. The name he's talking about right here. This is what the life is in. What name is that life in, Mother? Give me 4 verse 6 or Deuteronomy. See, life is in this name right here. The name he's talking about right here. That was life in. But we gonna look at the other side of something for you to know it and never forget it. Life is in his name. And, Mother, what he said in 5:43 of St. John before you read Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. He said, life is in his name. And what he said in St. John 5:43? Hey, Mother Eve, what he said in St. John 5:43?
Let me get back here. The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 43. St. John, chapter 5, verse 43. St. John chapter 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
He said, when I came in the body, I came in my Father's name. And you receive me. You don't receive me in my Father's name. You don't receive me. But if another come in another name, you will receive it. Now, what's that supposed to mean that we can read? Let's find out what he's talking about. What name is he talking about that if another come in, you will receive it? Huh? That's big talking there. I'll tell you what. Let's give me what name
they pay no never mind, mother, in 4 verse 6 of Deuteronomy. What name they pay no never mind?
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what name they pay no never mind?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What name they pay no never mind, mother, in 4 verse 6?
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. Mm-hmm. Keep therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Mm-hmm. Now swing over to 6 verse 4. Because they both say you are a great and wise nation. Let's see what you got to know to be a great and wise nation. 6 verse 4. What you got to know for that title to be over your head? What you got to know in 6 verse 4, mother?
Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Yahweh, is one Yahweh.
Oh, so what makes you a wise and understanding nation, mother, according to 6 verse 4? You have to know what? What you got to know according to that verse 4?
Hear.
Yeah, hear what?
O Israel. Yahweh, our Yahweh is one Yahweh.
Oh, so that make you wise when you hear that our Yahweh is one Yahweh. How many letters is that, mother?
4 letters. YHWH.
Our Yahweh.
Let's go to Mark chapter 12, verse 29, and a closing statement there, mother. We're going to Mark chapter 12, verse 29, and get a precept and a closing statement.
Mark chapter 12, 29. Book of Mark chapter 12, verse 29. And Yahweh the Son answered him, the first of all, the commandment is here, O Israel. The Yahweh, our Yahweh, is one Yahweh.
Now, so on the right side of the book, the first and the great commandment is for what, mother?
Hear, O Israel.
Hear what? Hear what?
It says, hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Yahweh, is one Yahweh.
Oh, that's what we both hear. Hear, O Israel, our Yahweh is one Yahweh. So that's the greatest thing to understand. Hear, O Israel, 12 tribes, our Yahweh is one Yahweh. Hey, mother, how many letters is that?
4 letters. YHWH.
Okay, good. You remember the stride? What's your closing statement behind that, mother? Closing statement? Catch you on the top part of the Sabbath day.
Oh.
Got a closing?
Okay.
Come on.
Thank and praising Yahweh for the class. Thank and praising Yahweh to be in the class. And thank and praising Yahweh for the seer and for Brother Micaiah. Just thank and praising Yahweh for each and every one that's listening to the class. And I'm going to say to the listener, hold on, don't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mother say, hold on and don't give up. Hold on and don't. Now,
Now we know the scribes preached the Almighty Son and made a profound statement. But now we've been talking about something First Samuel, young line. We're going to first make it to 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to find out, we're getting ready to read something, and this guy is going to be very amazed about what he was getting ready to write. But I want to bring something to the table that 2 Samuel there, young line, chapter 7. Can you help those see out in 7? Getting ready to read, it's going to be what in verse 19? What are we getting ready to read in verse 19? 7:19. What are we getting ready to read?
Okay. We're going over to 2 Samuel, chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 19. Verse 19 reads, "And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Yahuwah, but you had spoken also of your servant, about your servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the matter?"
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Hold on there, young lad. What we're getting ready to read is how long?
For a great while.
To come. What we're getting ready to read, this is in John's days. John was on the Isle of Patmos in 96 A.D. He said, what you getting ready to read and John getting ready to put in writing for how long there, young man?
For a great while to come.
For a great while to come. Let's go read what is a great while to come in 17 verse 1. I'll tell you what.
All right.
Let me read 17 verse 1. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, pick up verse 5 to 12. Let's find out something that's going to be a great while to come. Let's find out something that got to happen. This only going to happen when a great while to come. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 down to verse 12. What does it say?
All right, we're going over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we want to read verse 5 down to verse number 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 reads, "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Verse 6, "And now you know that with hope that he might be revealed in his time." Verse 7, "For the mystery of sin do already work. Only he who now let will let, until he be taken out of the way." Verse 8, "And when shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his cup?" Verse 9.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on there, young man. He said he gonna be revealed. What kind of way again, man, young man? Nah, it's no way in the world. I can't let get away. He said, how is this man of sin going to be revealed again? Can you help me out? How is he going to be revealed again, according to what we can read?
Verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Yahuwah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Oh, so he will reveal the mystery by what kind of way again? By the what again?
The spirit whom Yahuwah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and been destroyed with the brightness of his coming.
That's big talk there, young man. That's great big talk. We ain't no way in the world let that get away. So now, how is this man of sin going to be revealed? Take your time there, young man. You own something, and all that happens, how is this man of sin going to be revealed again? What kind of way?
"And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom Yahuwah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth,
and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
So before he get here, he got to be taken, revealed by the spirit of his mouth. Is that what we're reading?
We read.
Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah.
I can't get nothing out of the young lion right now. I don't know why I can't get nothing out of him. I can't get a hallelujah out of him. How is he going to be revealed again?
The spirit of his mouth.
Oh, okay. Let's go to 2 Chronicles and find out about that. And 2 Chronicles 36, and see can we precept that and find out what he's saying. So he said, the only way this wicked going to be revealed before we get here is by the spirit of his mouth. So now we want to precept that and find out what is he saying. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, 12 and 22. What you saying? Come on.
All right. We're going over to the book of 2 Chronicles. We're going to read chapter 36. We want verse 12 and verse 22. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 12 and verse 22. Verse 12 reads, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahuwah, his Yahuwah, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of the Yahuwah. Verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahuwah spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah the seer might be accomplished, the Yahuwah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying.
But we didn't need all that. All the part we need that he's going to be revealed by the spirit of his mouth. So if you get suspicious, young lion, what is the spirit of his mouth? Let me see if you get suspicious. So what is the spirit of his mouth that is saying to be revealed? According to 12 and verse 22. I wonder if the young lion gets suspicious.
Mm-hmm. The mouth of Yahuwah.
Well, no. Thank you, Mother Z. Thank you, Mother E. Yeah, no. That ain't how you're going to be revealed. He was revealed by the spirit of his mouth.
Right.
He spoke about the seals, what?
He said, like he said, that Yahuwah spoken by the mouth of the seer, Jeremiah.
All right, too much talking. Hold on, young lion. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 70. Okay. Got to get a little bit more in there, young lion. Yeah. Too much talking ain't enough. Just hitting it right in the arm and cutting the arm off. Luke 1:70.
All right. Going to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 7. Verse 70 reads, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous spirit, which has been since the world began.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Acts 3, 18 and 21. Acts 3, 18 and 21. Hey, Mother Z, now when you come to class on the top part of the saddle, bring that strap, you know, one that beat the backs. You might have to grab them young lines and beat the backs a little bit. Acts 3, 18 and 21.
The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 21. Verse 18 reads, but those things which Yahuwah before had showed by the mouth of his seer, that Yahuwah the Son should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. 21.
Mm-hmm.
Whom the heaven must receive as the tithes of restitution of all things which Yahuwah has spoken by the mouth of all his righteous seers since the world began.
Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Zechariah 7, 12.
All right. Going over to the book of Zechariah, chapter 7. Pick it up at verse number 12.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 12 reads, yes, they made their minds as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words which Yahweh of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former seer. Therefore came a great wrath of the Yahweh folks.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. Nehemiah 9:30.
Going over to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 9. I'm picking up at verse number 30. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 30. Verse 30 reads, yet many years did you forbear them and tested against them by your spirit and your fear. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore giving you them the hand of the people of the land.
Read that verse again.
Verse number 30. Yet many years did you forbear them and testify against them by your spirit in your seers.
But what did they do in Isaiah 63 verse 10? What did they do, young man? Isaiah 63 verse 10. What did they do?
Went over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Picking up at verse number 10. The book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, but they rebelled and vexed his righteous spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And he fought against them.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter verse 22 and 23.
Went over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and we'll pick it up at verse number 23.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 and 23.
Of chapter 1. Okay, going over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 22, read. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorn, and fools take not? Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
St. John chapter 6, verse 63.
Okay. Going over to the book of St. John, chapter 6. We'll pick it up at verse 63. The book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 63, reads, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Mm-hmm. So we clear in Isaiah, we clear in Isaiah, that young line, 37, how he speaks. We want to get one more, then we go back to 2 Thessalonians. We should be cooking in fine grease. So in 39th chapter, can you help those see out in 39th chapter, what I want out of Isaiah? I want verse number 1, can you help me out? FOC out and what I need, 39 verse 1, what I need. What I need out of the book of Isaiah there, young lion. I need me a hit. And I'm struggling right now, young lion. I'm looking for me a nice hit in the book of Isaiah. Can you FOC out on what he's looking for? He's looking for a statement out of the book of Isaiah. And he's struggling right now to fulfill what he's looking for. Yeah, 38, 1 and 17. Can I get 1 and 17 out you there, young line?
All right.
I need 1 and 7. What can you help the OC out on what he's looking for?
All right.
First is gonna be 1 and 17. Uh huh.
Say 1 and 17.
Yeah, that's all I want. I want verse 1 and verse 17. That's all I want. But I'm struggling because a book closed by right now, but I'm struggling. But I need verse 1 and 17 on something in the book of Isaiah. Can you help those see it out? Because I'm struggling right now. You know, otherwise, I need my hands raised up like they did old Moses, because I'm struggling right now. Can you help those see it out?
If you get any,
make it Ezekiel 39. You're fumbling around again, that young man. Make that Ezekiel. Get Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38,
right.
Verse 1 and 17. 38 of Ezekiel, 1 and 17. Listen good.
Go to the book of Ezekiel. You see it. Chapter 38. Pick it up at verse 1 and 17. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 30, verse 1, read. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 17.
What are you saying, verse 17?
Thus says Yahweh, Yahweh, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the seers of Israel, which prophesied to those
that... That's all I want. So when he spoke in old time, how did he speak to El Young Lion?
By the seers of Israel.
But that's how he spoke. So Paul ain't going to change nothing. So let's go right back now and see exactly how this man of sin is going to go down. Now he's going right back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, I mean 2, and pick up verse 5 again. Now we'd be able to understand, we read verse 5, down to verse 12, but we're going to stop at verse 8 and take care of a little business and keep on going out to verse 12. Come on.
The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 5 down to verse 12. Verse 5 reads, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of sin do all already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, by the sea.
Stop it down. And, now, what is the spirit of Yahweh's mouth?
The sea.
Hold that part, just give me the book of Acts. And when do you hear the spirit of Yahweh's mouth in Acts chapter 13, verse 27, for time's sake? So when do you hear the spirit of Yahweh's mouth? When do you hear the words of Yahweh's mouth speaking? Let's see. Let's go to the 13th chapter, verse 27, find out when this happened. When is this going on?
Okay, going over to the book of Acts, chapter 13. And pick it up at verse number 27. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 27 reads, for they that dwell at Yadda-Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seers, which I read every Sabbath day, they...
That's it. So when do you hear the voice of the seer?
Every Sabbath day.
Every Sabbath day you hear the voice of the seer. And Yahweh said the wicked will be revealed by his voice, by his mouth. His mouth is seer. Because he made it plain in 14 verse 12 of St. John. He made it plain there, young man. 14 verse 12, what did he say? St. John, 14:12.
Going over to St. John, chapter 14, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, He that believe on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
He made his plan to me. Now come on back and pick up an 8 down to verse 12 and the closing statement. We'll leave it like that. We'll get back on whatever we got to get back on tomorrow. So at 7:30 on the network time. Now pick up at verse number 8 again and take it on down to verse 12 in the closing statement, that young line. We'll leave it like that. See, that's why I said we got to study this day. We got to study big time, like a saw machine. That man of sin is not going to be revealed until the seal revealing and pass it on to the elders. Verse 8 down to verse 12 in the closing statement. Come on.
The book of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 8 down to 12. Verse 8 reads, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10.
Wait a minute. You mean that wicked... He got all power and what kind of wonders?
All power and signs and lying wonders.
And lying wonders. This man is lying to you. He's lying about his name. He's lying about his date. He's lying about everything that come out of his mouth. Everything in that cup. He's lying to you. He's telling you got to confess yourself to a man. He's lying to you. And the seal will be revealing him. That's up to you to have an ear to hear. Keep reading down to verse 12. Close that and catch him all. Top part of 7. Go ahead.
Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of under unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the